from KQED.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. Today is Earth Day, and state officials want you to conserve water like you do power. A new campaign called Save Our Water echoes the Flex Your Power campaign that helped us survive the energy crisis of 2001. The governor declared a statewide water emergency in February, but so far the calls for conservation are voluntary. You know the drill: shorter showers, full laundry loads only, and water-wise plants in the yard. California air regulators are about to take the next big step in the state's fight against climate change. In Sacramento tomorrow, they're expected to adopt rules designed to cut greenhouse gas emissions from car and truck fuel. But the new standard faces furious opposition from the ethanol industry. Marjorie Sun reports as part of our Climate Watch series.
This Shell station in Sacramento looks conventional, but pull in and you'll see something new. Customer Sergei Chernuk stands next to a bright green pump labeled Propel. He's just filled his Ford truck with ethanol fuel called E85. It's about 40 cents a gallon cheaper than regular. And that makes ethanol an easy choice, Chernuk says.
I like the cheaper price. Ethanol, clean fuel, that's good.
Most people would agree. Clean fuels are good. And ethanol, now produced mostly from corn, is touted as a clean alternative to gasoline. But under the draft low-carbon fuel standard from the California Air Resources Board, ethanol won't look quite as clean as it does today. The proposal is part of California's effort to cut greenhouse gas emissions. The new standard would help do that by rating gasoline, diesel, and alternative fuels by calculating their carbon intensity. It measures the direct emissions of greenhouse gases from making and using each fuel, as well as indirect emissions in the production process. The regulation requires fuel makers to cut the carbon score of their products by 10% over the next decade or so. Dan Sperling is a member of the Air Resources Board and director of the Institute of Transportation Studies at UC Davis.
What's impressive about this low-carbon fuel standard is, for the first time, it is using a life cycle approach to emissions from source to wheel, and using science, using evidence-based, using data. And this is really a big step forward in climate policy.
In the case of ethanol, that source to wheels approach means accounting for greenhouse gases emitted when farmland for food or new land is shifted to fuel production. The Air Board's estimates of those emissions make the carbon score of ethanol close to that of gasoline. And that has made the ethanol industry, which is already battling tough market conditions, very unhappy.
So we know it's wrong, and it would send the wrong market signals to do that.
Tom Curler is spokesman for biofuel producer Pacific Ethanol. He says the Air Resources Board's new standard is unscientific and unfair. For instance, he says the new standard underestimates the carbon cost of electricity generated by coal, the source of power for electric cars and plug-in hybrids.
Coal is the dirtiest, most carbon-intensive electricity that we have on the planet today.
Kohler also accuses the Air Board of singling out the ethanol industry.
If you're going to have a performance standard, everything's got to be treated the same. It's not in this fuel regulation.
One of the most important features of the low-carbon fuel standard is that every fuel is being treated equally.
Dan Kamen is an expert on energy issues at UC Berkeley.
And while this sounds like an ongoing process of science, you know, battling it out, looking at the numbers, what you're really seeing, I think, is sort of the birth pains of a new metric. We used to think only in terms of money. Now we're thinking in terms of money and carbon, and then towards a larger view of sustainability, where impact on communities worldwide, impact on rivers, impact on the land, is all going to need to be factored in.
Despite the ethanol industry protests, the Air Resources Board is expected to adopt the draft rule this week. Several other states are likely to follow suit. The new rule, if passed in California, will take time to work, requiring both lower carbon fuels and a new generation of vehicles. At another gas station in Sacramento, customer Larry Manley fills his old pickup with regular.
So what would convince you to change to an ethanol fuel?
Free car.
For the California Report, I'm Marjorie Sun.
You'll find more on the fuel standard at our website, californiareport.org/climatewatch. The high school exit exam is making it harder for girls and students of color to graduate, even when they're capable of it. That's the finding of a new study out from Stanford, as Sasha Coker reports.
Last one. This is a parabola. How can I describe the shape of a parabola?
About a dozen students are working through math problems in an exit exam prep class at McLean High in Fresno. One in four seniors here has failed the exit exam.
U-shaped. Is this U going to open up or open down?
Peng Zhang is sitting in the front row taking careful notes. She's a Hmong refugee who came to the U.S. as a toddler. She's passing all her classes but has failed the exit exam three times.
I felt a little bit nervous about not passing the test, but the night before the test, I study, and then the next day when I took the test, I'm just forget about what I'm studying last night.
Zhang knows if she doesn't pass the exit exam, she won't graduate. The Stanford report says students like her don't perform well precisely because of the high-stakes nature of this particular test. Stanford professor Sean Reardon compared students whose scores were similar to each other on other standardized tests. Among this group, girls and students of color scored much lower on the exit exam. He says this is because of stereotype threat, a theory that's supported by a growing body of research.
Students of color and girls experience two kinds of stress, both the stress from fear of failing the test and stress from concern that if they fail, it may confirm a negative stereotype about their group.
Advocates of the exit exam have argued having a uniform measurement will raise academic standards. But this study says there's no evidence that students who had to take the exam learned more than students who graduated before the test became mandatory. For the California Report, I'm Sasha Coca in Fresno.
That's the California Report for Wednesday, April 22nd, a production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by the R. Gwynne Fallas Foundation for coverage of climate change, URS Corporation, a global engineering and construction firm headquartered in San Francisco, providing engineering, construction, and technical services to public agencies and private companies, urscorp.com, and Chevron, an energy company founded in California more than 125 years ago, helping fuel California's way of life. More information is available at chevron.com.